make it, she asked Cindy Gibbon, Central Library Director for the Multnomah County, to be in the audience as a de facto representative. And so we welcome you, and I'm glad you're here.
Annette, are you ready?
Okay, folks. Our full task force will reconvene as a task force. We have a number of things before us. Jim, do you have anything you want to say at this point, or should we go to the legislative proposal?
I think, Senator Crowe, I think we can just go straight to the legislative proposal.
All right, Mr. Chair. We have reported to us from our subcommittee, draft LC 1057. The draft was not amended in the subcommittee, and it's before us at this point. Are there, let's call for a public hearing on this. Are there members of the audience who would like to speak about our draft proposal? Anybody out there? Please come forward.
I am Cindy Gibbon from the Multnomah County Library, and since Jenny did ask me to be here, I wanted to be sure that I said that Multnomah County Library is very pleased with the way that this legislation is moving forward. We do think that it's appropriate for this change to be made in the way that we're spending these LSTA funds, moving from the old concept of net lender reimbursement and kind of moving into the 21st century and looking at the kinds of things that we need to be doing now, supporting the statewide licensing of electronic databases, supporting libraries who will participate in the new kinds of reference services that we will be providing electronically, and also making it possible for the courier service to be provided to libraries that have not been able to participate in it in the past. I might say that I'm also chair of the Public Library Division of the Oregon Library Association, and members of the Public Library Division Board discussed this at our meeting last Friday, and I think I can convey for them, a group that represents really libraries, public libraries from all over the state, their sense that this is the right way to go as well. Yes, there are some questions about the details. As Senators Trow and Duncan said, we can talk about that, I think, when it's time to create the administrative rules. The important thing is to move forward with a united front to pass the legislation.
Thank you very much. Questions for Cindy? Thank you. Okay, is there anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Please come forward.
I'm Cheryl Stanky. I work for the Eugene School District, and I'm on the Oregon Educational Media Association board. And I would just like to say how pleased school librarians are to have the word school as part of this legislation. We sometimes feel as if we're not recognized as equal partners in providing library services to the citizens of Oregon, and this is a step to make that happen. So, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else? Yes, sir. Come forward. Identify yourself who you are.
I'm John Helmer with the Orbis Library Consortium, and while I probably weigh the question of oversight and governance more heavily than some, and am pleased to see that rise to the forefront for rulemaking later on, I also want to add my congratulations to the State Library and my support for this legislation. I think it's a wonderful step forward, and thank you.
Thank you, sir. Questions? Anybody on the committee with the task force like to make their comments? Have a question? Okay. Well, then let's move out of the hearing into the work session. And we will need a motion to send this forward. Senator Duncan, tell us the name of your committee so we can get the motion just right.
You want to send it to the General Government Committee?
Okay, so the motion would be to move draft LC 1057 to the, what do we call it again?
General Government Committee.
General Government.
General Government Interim Committee.
General Government Interim Committee, okay. Somebody prepared to make that motion?
I so moved, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Burdick makes that motion. And is there a discussion of the motion?
So if I may, just for clarification for the task force members, what you are voting on is to move LC 1057 to the Senate Interim Committee on General Government, requesting or making the recommendation that that committee do a pre-session filing. And then they are the ones that will actually do the filing, and the bill will then be generated from there.
So make sure the motion contains that information, okay? And did we get somebody to move that? Well, somebody. So we have the motion. Is there a discussion of the, further discussion of the motion? Okay, if not, are those members who are able to vote in the full committee, would you call the names, Mr. Riles, for a yes or no vote on the motion?
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Duncan?
Aye.
Alitha Bonebrake?
Aye.
Deborah Carver?
Aye.
Jeanne Cooper? Larry Olberg?
Aye.
Chair Crowe?
Aye. The motion has passed. LC 1057 will go to the General Government Committee and to the, now my hands of the chairperson there, Senator Duncan.
Chair, if I recall, I think that committee meets on November 18th.
November 18th.
And.
Would you recommend that there be some members from this group there to?
Oh, if someone who lives across the street or something. You're going to be in, I would not recommend anyone taking too much time out of their business schedule and expense of driving down. It'll be in good shape.
Thank you, thank you. Let me make just a couple comments about that. Senator Burdick is going to be back in the legislature, so I'm going to rely a lot on Senator Burdick to bird dog this piece of legislation next session. Senator Duncan and I are not coming back, regrettably, from some standpoint. But it seems to me that, don't take this thing for granted. Don't take it as automatically it's going to pass. It has the advantage, I think, of doing something really very good. And it also has the advantage of not spending any state dollars when state dollars are really short, in short supply. But do remember what we said about the fact that there are federal dollars here that might be a lure for budgeteers who would like to change things around and move money. So I think we have to make a really good case that we've got something that we want done. And we've got to make that case to a hierarchy of people. For one thing, whoever's the governor and the Department of Administrative Services staff needs to know about this. So we need somehow or other to touch that base and make sure that somehow or other it's in the thinking of the new governor as the budget comes forward, that sort of idea is there. Then also, as soon as the legislature gets organized, the co-chairs of Ways and Means are pretty crucial people, as well as the president and the speaker of the chamber, to let them know at least that we'd like to get this done and to do effective lobbying with them. Then, of course, once it gets into the Ways and Means process as part of June's budget, we have the bill as well. The bill may well go to a substantive committee, probably will, before it goes to the Ways and Means Committee. And so we need to be prepared to talk to the chair there, to get a hearing scheduled, and to to have a favorable discussion and get the bill voted out probably to the Ways and Means. So that's part of the process.
Mr. Chair, I think it's important also that, you know, people in this room, you can nod your head and say, yes, we'll stick together. All you need to do is have a few of your colleagues out there who weren't in on this discussion say, yeah, but I want to think about a certain couple of words here, and come in and they see a conflict. And committees, you know, with all the bills they have, and they start seeing conflicts like that between people who are supposed to be working together, a lot of times they just throw up their hands and throw, it could be a dead bill. So not only is it important that you're in agreement in this room, but you have a lot of colleagues out there, and you need to keep them at bay. Because, and that's a terrible thing to say. It's saying don't let people come express themselves. I'm just saying if you really want this, don't let that controversy show up here and remind people we can work things out through the administrative room later, because it really could. It could jeopardize the whole thing. Senator Burdick, you'll be there for now.
Yeah, and just, you know, to add on what both of my wonderful colleagues just said, it's important not to come in with a divided front, because that is disconcerting to a committee on a bill like this, where the best thing you can do is come in with a united front. But you have such a wonderful grassroots network around the state that it's very important for everyone to weigh in, because everyone has a rep, everyone has a senator. And the more diversity, I mean, obviously the Ways and Means Committee is the gold standard here, but the more diversity you have, the more likelihood you'll have of people being educated and willing potentially to go to bat for those funds, as well as to think it's a good idea, but to actually go to bat if challenges to that funding source come up, which would be more than likely given the budget constraints we have next session. And, you know, Nanheim, sitting there in the audience, is the best at organizing the grassroots effort. So I think it'll be a good opportunity.
And the bill dealing with the changes will finally meet up, hopefully. And let me point this out, that there's a real possibility of stumbling here. The bill should meet up with Jim's budget in a timely way, so that the bill can go through the Ways and Means process and through the legislative process. More often than not, bills like this end up dying in the Ways and Means Committee, because it never gets, it goes to the committee, and it's a list of about 1,000 bills that wants to change the way money is spent. And unless you can move it out of there to the subcommittee with Jim's budget, why, you may have problems. And so that's why it's very key to get the support of the co-chairs of Ways and Means, because they do the assigning of those bills and putting them together. And then Jenny is absolutely right about every legislator needs to know about it, and every legislator can help get it passed, and eventually it'll go to the floor of both houses and they'll be voting on it. But really good if you can touch base with your legislators and get them involved. Senator Nelson had a bill something like this last session, and hopefully we can work to get Senator Nelson's cooperation on this one. And we'll need Republicans. This is a Senate task force. There's not a single House member on this task force who knows anything about this at all. So we got really to educate our House representative members about this. So we got work to do on this. Don't take it for granted. It's not going to happen just because it gets through this task force.
4,000 bills will go in and 1,000 make it.
And that means that we're all going to have to help to make sure that we make it. Okay. Well, we'll turn to another part of our agenda, which is review of a draft letter for the Quality Education Commission. And that letter is going to go out under my signature. I'm glad to do that. It's a longer letter than I used to. And our signature was was Jim Shepke. So Jim, you want to tell us basically what's in this letter and why it's there?
Senator Tro, this task was assigned to me in one of our interim meetings to draft this letter, and what it says basically is it urges the Quality Education Commission to change the quality education model standard from not requiring a librarian at the elementary school level to requiring a librarian. Their current quality education model, which they just came out with a new draft in August, still does not mandate or require a librarian in an elementary school. There is a requirement for one librarian in a middle school and one librarian in a high school, but at the elementary level, they say in their model that that there be 4.5 specialists, and they give examples of which librarian is one of the examples, but they go on to say that it'd be up to every elementary school to decide which of those specialists they would wish to have on the staff. And I think given all the testimony that the Senate Task Force has heard about the situation with our school libraries, it's really critical in my view that we advocate that the quality education model require a librarian at the elementary level. And my own opinion is it may actually be more important to have a librarian at the elementary level than at the high school level. I just think it's critical for kids to start reading and to get, you know, a lot of attention and encouragement about reading that happens. So that was a little editorial comment, Mr. Chair.
All right. This is the subject now for discussion of the members. Far away.
Well, on behalf of my school colleagues, a question came up about whether or not we were being specific enough when we just used the term librarian, and whether, because people outside the profession sometimes think of anybody who works in a library as being a librarian. And I apologize, I've only read the draft one time, so it may do this, but is it really clear that we're talking about someone with the professional credentials that we think of when we use that term, librarian?
Jim, do you want to answer that?
Yes, if you look in the first paragraph, it speaks to a certified school library media specialist, which is the exact technical term for someone who has the credential to be a school librarian. It doesn't speak to support staff, which is also important, but this letter only speaks to the certified school library media specialist.
Speaking to the same point, I thought if you added it in the last paragraph as well, rather than a need for a school librarian in every Oregon elementary school, to say at that point a certified school media specialist, just to reiterate, I think that would strengthen the letter a little bit.
Can you do that, Jim?
Sure. Certainly.
Okay. Consensus okay on that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I just might comment that Dr. Weisen is one of my students, and I was on his doctoral dissertation. I'm sure I must have influenced his thinking.
We have a representative from the public.
Your first comment, Senator Tro, was that it was long for you, and I still have that feeling. It's a little long for somebody to read, so I think they could use some wordsmithing in terms of making it. There's a lot of information packed in here, and if there's a way to get it into a two-page, I think it would be a more effective letter, and reiterating the actions that we would like to see in the final paragraph. I'd also add that Mr. Thrasher was at a public forum that I was chairing a couple weeks ago, and I brought this issue up, so it's not going to come out of the blue.
Go ahead, Senator.
Mr. Chair, I agree with you a little bit. I'm wondering if you could, and nothing worse than a committee trying to write a letter, and I understand that. But I was just thinking of the study that was done by Dr. Lance. I wonder if that could be done just as an attachment to the letter. You know, I mean, this is an attachment, and then we refer to it directly rather than be part of the, I don't know, but just.
Jim, can you rework it a little bit before I send it out?
Yes, I can.
Somehow or other, cut it down, but yes.
I would like to leave the information from Dr. Lance in, if you can do that, you know, reduce the type or something, I always. Because, you know, I'm on the Budget Commission for the Corvallis School District, and we've referenced this particular study, and I think it really needs to be out there so people, you know, maybe you can fuss with it, but it needs to be in the body of the letter, because people often don't read the appendix.
Okay. Okay. Well, any other thoughts about the letter? Yes, sir.
Well, I only want to say that I think it's a strong letter and serves a real need, and I'm appreciative of Jim having crafted it for you.
I don't think we need to take any action on that. It's again, it's a consensus that I can send this letter without anybody's disapproval. I'm seeing opposition. I will, once it's reworked, put my signature to it and send it on its way. Okay. Now, see, we need to talk about a final report that will come out of the task force. Jim Wiles, do you want to talk a little bit about what you have in mind for a final report?
Sure, Senator Trow, thank you. For the non-legislative members, at the end of the task force, we will put together a final report that will be summarizing the discussions and activity of the task force. And the purpose for this item on the agenda is to make sure that we are capturing all the things that you hope to have in the final report. One of the things we did discuss at an earlier meeting was making recommendations to the legislature as a whole, and so part of the final task force report can include those recommendations to the legislature. So, again, it's to review what you would like to have in your final report.
I was wondering, I don't know, it's going to be mostly a narrative describing what we have done and obviously focusing on the piece of legislation that will be coming out of the task force, perhaps mentioning the letter that we're sending and so forth. But it seems to me that this might be a place where we think collectively as a group about what else needs to be done to improve libraries statewide. What are some immediate needs? What are some long-term needs? I don't know whether we can just do some of that thinking right now among ourselves or whether you want to or not, but if we could think in terms of things that might be done, not this coming biennium, the legislature, but maybe in the near future as well as long-term plans. Do we want to spend time doing that?
Mr. Chair, just one thing I'll just throw out. It seems to me like one of the concerns I've had in the whole legislative process over the last few years has been we're always dealing with the me and the now kind of thing. If you listen to people testify, it's how it affects the now. And I think you triggered it for me just a minute ago, and I was thinking, here's a great opportunity to also do a visionary piece, or at least something in there about a vision that, as you say, probably it will happen next session or something, but get people thinking along the lines and say, okay, what's the idea out there? What's your vision? And, you know, we used to do that in our year. And right now, I don't see that happening too much. So I thought
we almost have a myopia. We have no vision. We're trying to figure how can we fund what we now have and keep good things going.
How can we cut it?
Senator Trow, at our first meeting, there were some presentations about the Oregon Library Association's Vision 2010, and I'm wondering if this might be a place that the task force could endorse that or speak to those points that a lot of work has already gone into by the library community.
I was going to make the same point. I thought some things, and I can't come up with specifics right now, but I thought there were just some amazing, amazingly good ideas in that report, and I would love to maybe just endorse the whole thing or go through it and figure out if there's any problems. But I thought that was a very great presentation to move us up to the next level.
The other thing, I was looking through my notes to see if I could find the summary that we did on the whiteboard list, because there were, one of the actions was this letter to the quality education model, but there were some other ideas in there that I think that we should reaffirm too, and somewhere in here. Jim.
We should go back and figure out what we want to spend the portals money on before we realize there wasn't any portals money.
But I think that there was the points about the SOEN, the State of Oregon Enterprise Network, that maybe we should need to reinforce that idea of maintaining the infrastructure for access. There was a mention of community colleges and what role they play in the state. So I think there's some vision pieces there about where we want to be in 10 years that play out in some of these that are not specific to the legislature, but I don't think we want to lose. And then, of course, we also need to put in the idea of how, of governance and the importance of the OAR. Does that go into the report of next steps that we do? Looking through it. And then I think there's a couple other things on school libraries, mainly on the quality education model.
Well, other comments?
Senator, Senators, in fact, one major piece is Jim's presentation, I think, about a statewide catalog for Oregon, which clearly needs funding, and it seems to me that's part of any vision for the state.
I think, too, a vision that we all keep before us as we try to fund more and more opportunities for access to information is to work with larger service areas to create larger unified models in areas that are quite scattered by their jurisdictional beginnings, where they really can't afford the things that are available nowadays. And I think that wherever that's appropriate, we should keep a really strong eye toward larger units of service to achieve economies of scale.
Yes. Looking over my notes, there was quite a bit of discussion about school library statistics and data. Maybe someone could refresh my memory about whether or not there's anything happening with regards to that right now, or whether or not that needs to be part of our recommendations as well.
We obviously have the letter, but
that's
Senator Crow, I can report that the State Library Board has introduced a legislative concept to have the State Library begin to analyze and report statistics on school libraries, and that has been accepted, and the bill has been drafted, and it will go forward to the new governor for a possible introduction. So the State Library Board has taken the initiative on that.
Is it appropriate for our final report to say something positive about that direction?
Yes, that would be very helpful.
Okay. Further ideas or comments? Anybody in the audience want to come and talk to us about anything? You put on the final report? Okay. Why don't we do this? Jim Wiles is going to be drafting the report. Jim Shepke, can you be a consultant on the report? Janet, can you be a consultant on the report as Jim drafts it? Anybody else want to be a consultant? Deborah? Okay. Got consultants. And Jim, would you just kind of check with these folks as they're coming and get their ideas and try to incorporate them? Jenny, you want to be a consultant?
Nope.
Anybody else want to be a consultant? All right, thank you.
I'll do that.
Okay, Connie Bennett also. Great. All right. Well, let's see. Anything else for the good of the order? Anybody? anybody have a final remarks? Jim?
Mr. Chair, I'm aware of the fact that this may be the last meeting where you've had the ability to be of service to the library community, and I just, on behalf of the State Library, I want to thank you for your many years of service. I think it's been a wonderful thing that you served as a very able chair of the interim committee that we had in 1992 that resulted in many positive changes for Oregon libraries since that time, and I think it's wonderful that you've been able to serve as our chair this time, and I just want to thank you for your service, and I know you'll continue to be involved with libraries, and we'll look forward to your support.
Thank you very much. I hope you'll say the same thing when this other committee under Senator Duncan has done a lot of good things for libraries. Don't forget Jenny Bird is here, because she's going to be the person you're going to really need to lead the charge.
So I don't want to distract from you, Senator Trow, because you've just been a hero in this area, and I'm glad you made the comments you did.
Thank you.
Well, I don't want to.
Senator Trow, I wanted to ask about where the appropriate place would be to discuss the financial impact of LC 1057,
okay.
The statement that was drafted by Jim.
We didn't do that, and we should, if there are questions about it, yes.
Okay. Is that appropriate to this committee?
I forgot about it, yes.
Okay.
We should talk.
During the last Oregon Library Association Executive Board meeting, at the end of the meeting, we did have a hearing for public for library community to come and talk about the proposed legislation and the financial impact. And one concern that was expressed there and also in other conversations was moving the library development services position, the management position, entirely to federal funds from general funds. There was some concern that that might show, well, partly reverse the progress that was done by the interim committee in 92, but also show a lack of support for it by the state and by the state library by taking it onto soft money. And wondered if we could look at that piece of the funding proposal again, and if that position could continue to be half general fund money in order to indicate that support and keep it in the general fund budget, and how that would affect the numbers that Jim's crunched here. But that was a concern expressed by the Library Committee about what this said about the commitment to library development at the state level.
Yeah, I think you're right. It'd be nice to keep a general fund commitment to positions if you can. My guess is that Jim, as he thought about this proposal, is thinking about the crunch that he's, the library budget's already under, and probably is trying to respond in ways that can keep that budget whole. But Jim, do you want to respond to that?
Well, I think Connie makes a good point. You know, I appreciate the idea that to keep some general funds in that position would show a good commitment to that. I think, you know, our preference is not to have positions funded by a mix of funding sources if we can avoid that. But I think, you know, that if it turned out that this position was funded half and half, I think the rest of the proposal could be funded, and that budget could be worked with. I mean, the way it stands, there's general fund money that is freed up from that position that is used to provide a manager to Talking Book and Braille services, because under this proposal, you're essentially taking away their manager, you're taking away a half-time FTE from that department of the state library. So we need some money to address that. But, you know, that's kind of a detail that could be worked out, actually, in the Ways and Means Committee. I mean, an alternative would be for this to go forward, and then when we get to the Ways and Means Committee, and this bill hopefully will be there, and our budget bill will be there, that's the kind of detail that the library community can come and testify, and we could work that out at that time.
Go ahead, Connie.
I just wondered if it wouldn't be a stronger commitment if it actually came in your proposal rather than having to be advocated for by the library community at a later time, but...
I think I, you know, speaking for the State Library Board, we prefer it the way that it is today.
Is it...
Excuse me, we got some hands up here. Let's see, let's go over here first and come back.
Thank you, Senator. Is it possible that this would create a situation where there might be some different opinions surfacing in the library community that would be highly visible at the time of the Ways and Means hearing, and that we might want to work it out beforehand in the community?
Well, again, I think it's a good idea not to bring a lot of controversy to these things. So if you can, work it out. But at the same time, Jim is the chief spokesman for the State Library, and it's the budget he's got to defend, so he's got to be comfortable with it. So work with Jim.
Here's a long-term goal, and maybe this goes in the report, and I think Jim just said it, is that to move LSTA or the federal funds out into the library community. So the strategy that we're looking for, if we take a longer term, is that those positions would be funded with general funds, showing that the state supports library development in the state. I think we need to say that, and it might make it stronger if it's reflected in the budget. At least that we're saying these are state responsibilities, whether it's times right now the state's not being able to step up, but this is where we want the state to step up.
Jim, are you able to be flexible in that? Okay, so you might go along with this as your recommendation. Let's see if we can get something in the general report as well. And you guys can look at that. Anything else? Well, if not, then I think the task force is going to come to a glorious end. We will adjourn sine die.